Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for loving us and watching over us. Father, for your Son. Lord, for the great sacrifice that you have made for us. Lord, for the free gift of eternal life, for a home in heaven, and Lord, for something to keep our hands and minds occupied here and now. We pray, Lord, this morning that you would be one of our number, as well as our brethren, wherever they might be in the world. I pray you, Father, that you would minister to each one of us and our brethren, well, especially Stan this morning too, Lord, and pray that you would touch him and lift him up and the rest of the folks up there in Bangor too. Please be with Frank and Will and Leonard and Pat and Steve. Lord, please be with Esther. All those, Lord, that have slipped and slid, I pray you, Father, that you would restore them. And I pray you, Lord, too, that you would just lead us and guide us through the service this morning. Thank you for this opportunity to be here. And Lord, we're enjoying the freedoms that we have at the moment. I pray you for those that are standing up and fighting for our freedoms, especially for abortion, for gay marriage, and for all those other wicked laws that are being brought in to Lord, just to crush people. Please strengthen, Lord, those that need to be strengthened. And please, Lord, I pray you convict the lost. Bless the leaflets that have gone out. And please, Lord, reason with souls in the quietness of their hearts. And Lord, most of all, we just pray that your will be done. Take us and use us, Lord, and use this as a time of refreshing and strengthening and comforting and encouraging. Lord, just as you see fit. We love you and thank you. We ask all this, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Okay, let's take our wee hymn books this morning. Our wee hymn books, number 3 in the wee hymn books. All people that on earth do dwell. I was going to say hymn number 2284, but it's only the machine has to know that.
Mercy is forever sure.
that gets the vocal cords loosened up. If you'd like to take your big hymn books next and turn to a song that I am struggling hard to find here. There it is, 226. 226. And if you're able, we'll stand as we sing and Found a Friend. 226. I found a friend, oh, such a friend. He loved me ere I knew him. He drew me with the cords of love, and thus he bound me to him, and bound my heart still closely twined, those ties which not can sever, for I am his and he is mine, forever and forever. I found a friend, oh, such a friend. He bled, he died to save me, and not alone the gift of life, but his own self he gave me. Not that I have my own, I call, I hold it for the giver, my heart, my strength, my life, my all are his and his forever. I find a friend, oh, such a friend, all power to him is given to guard me on my onward course and bring me safe to heaven. The eternal glories gleam afar to nurse my faint endeavor. So now to watch, to work, to war, and then to rest forever. I found a friend, oh, such a friend, so kind and true and tender. So wise a counselor and guide, so mighty a defender. From him who loves me now so well, what power my soul can sever? Shall life or death or earth or hell? No, I am his forever. Amen. A little surprise to get us going. Norman, if you're good to read, would you just come on ahead, brother, please?
This morning reading is from the book of Acts, Acts chapter 4, the one I was supposed to read last week, but mistook for a 2, because I was half sleeping when I got the text. And as they spake unto the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducee came upon him, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. They laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, Ananias the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power, or by what name, have ye done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people, and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good they done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole. Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth the man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which it become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could not say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But what is spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them, and they speak henceforth to no man in his name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them, because of the people, for all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years, on whom this miracle of healing was showed. And being let go, they went to their own company, and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hath made heaven and earth and sea and all in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hath said, Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against the holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whosoever thy hand and thy counsel determined to be done. And now, Lord, behold this threatenings, and grant unto the servant that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be made by the name of the holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and to speak the word God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the price of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which has been interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Amen.
just thinking there, how long ago was it that you were bringing the Bible studies out of Acts 4? It's a week or two, isn't it? Maybe a month or two, but hey man, good to have a wee refresher. No. Just want to remind you all this morning of the little yellow prayer lists. They're out in the hall. I think they've all been pretty much updated. I don't think too much has changed since last Wednesday, since the last. But do continue to pray for Stan and Monica's sister Nina. I think she's coming along. Thankfully, we haven't heard any other bad news about her little escapades with appendicitis and gangrene. That's just a frightening thought. I'd ask that you would remember me in prayer as well, because I've been feeling off colour since Wednesday afternoon, just about, and it sort of comes and goes a bit, so I'd appreciate your prayers for that too. And it was good to see Frank here on Wednesday. I'm assuming that he got home safely. We were praying for him on Thursday evening, and pray that everything continues to go okay. Do continue to pray for Stan. He's not out of the woods yet. I think he was just about exhausted after doing a few hours taxiing over the past few days. So please continue to pray for them. We do, of course, miss Frank this morning, and Will. He had the second COVID injection on Monday, and I think he had lingering side effects from that. I pray that's not what's keeping him low at the moment, but do pray about that. We do miss Esther as well, and Pat and Steve. And we're glad to see you guys here. It's getting a bit light on it, but sure, Bible says wherever two or three are gathered together, do pray for our absent brethren. Amen. As regards everything else that's going on in the world, you wouldn't be stuck for finding something to pray about. There's a lot going on in our country and in other countries around the world. I think America's quite literally having a stroke right now, I suppose would be the only way of putting it. There's a lot of wheeling and dealing, and all the stuff that's going on in Europe and China and South America and Russia, North and South Korea, Japan, all those places. The stuff that you see in the news is not the important stuff. There's other things going on behind the scenes. Please do pray for the real leaders of this world. Whether we've gotten to the point in the Bible where it talks about those 10 kings that are ruling the world and they're shaking things up, please do pray. Even, I know there are people that are given over to a mind that God just refuses to work with anymore, but there are many souls that still need to hear the gospel. We weren't able to be out tracking on Saturday, but we have tracked hundreds of houses already just this past, maybe even more than that, just this past month, and we look forward to continuing on next week. Other than that, I think everything is pretty much the same. I know Christy has a PhD to finish. He has work to do, a wife to look after, all that good stuff, and we're all praying for you. As we are for everybody that's not here, but plenty to do. I think that's really about that. Is there anything we would need to add? Anything that you can think of that we need to be adding? Great. That saves me even having to reach in and take my pencil out. Right, let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll continue. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for your Son, Christ Jesus, for the adoption of sons, Lord, for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and for the precious promise that we can come before you at any time, day or night. We don't have to take our lives in our hands when we do so, that you really do want to hear from us, Lord. And even though I hate to come before you with a shopping list full of things, Lord, you've heard mention of loved ones that really do need you, loved ones that are cast down, those that are sick, myself included, those that are absent, Lord, and we miss them too. And I pray you, Father, for your good hand upon us, Lord. We pray you please that churches across the land would be protected, not just from shutdown by the government, but shut down by apathy and loose preaching and false preaching, Lord. Please, I pray, you put your good hand upon preachers and teachers right the way across the world. And I pray you too, Lord, that you would greatly convict the leaders of our countries, wherever they may be. And Lord, give them no peace day or night. Maybe I heard mentioned one time, Lord, that there's a reason why American presidents go grey, because of all the things that they see and the stress and pressure of the job and maybe the compromises they have to make. But I pray you, Lord, if that is the case, that you would age them out of service sooner rather than later, no matter who they are. I pray you, Father, please, for these countries that really do hate you and don't just have an undercurrent of hatred like our own, that you would provision and protect our brothers and sisters wherever they might be. I pray you, Lord, for the up-and-coming LGBT week. Haven't heard how anything's going to be working then. And I pray you, Lord, that you would throw as many stumbling blocks in front of it as you can, but most importantly, that you would see those souls saved. Please, Lord, watch over each one of us. Please, Lord, I pray, be with our absent brethren. And Lord, I just pray that you would bless the rest of the service. We love you and thank you. And we pray all this, Lord, in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, and according to your will. Amen. Amen. Let's get my C&I glasses on and get a hymn book out. If you want to take the wee hymn books again and turn to, where are we? Hymn number 209. Lord's My Shepherd. Sorry, not 209. I'm reading the machine out. Number 5, sorry, it's the fifth one in. My wife has given me all the information I need. I'm just using it in the wrong places. Verses 5. Hymn books. We play and shuffle the hymn books this morning. Amen. And we're going to do one that we haven't sung for a wee bit. It's relatively new, number 87. Number 87, just when I need him most. It may sound unfamiliar, but I reckon whenever you get the introduction, it will all come flooding back to you and we'll be able to sing like nightingales. Amen. We will. I hope we will.
Just when I need Him, Jesus is true, never forsaking all the way through, giving for burdens, pleasures anew. Just when I need Him most, just when I need Him most, just when Jesus is near to comfort and cheer, just when I need Him most. Just when I need Him, Jesus is strong, bearing my burdens all the day long. For all my sorrow, giving a song, just when I need Him. Just when I need Him most, just when I need Him most, Jesus is near to comfort and cheer, just when I need Him most. Just when I need Him, He is my all, answering when upon Him I call. Tenderly watching, lest I should fall, just when I need Him most. Just when I need Him most, just when I need Him most, Jesus is near to comfort and cheer, just when I need Him most.
That ring a bell or two, did it?
No.
Yes. Amen. Good practice. Good practice. Right, we're going to be in Luke chapter, I think we're in Luke chapter 4 this morning. Sorry. If you'd like to take a turn there, in Luke chapter 4. We're going to begin reading at verse number 14 in Luke chapter 4. I want to spend a minute or two this morning on the subject of what bugs you. What bugs you? Amen. Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse number 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And, as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, that's Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bare him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, Is not this Joseph's son? And he said unto them, Ye will surely say unto me this proverb, Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. And he said, Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heavens was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. And unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way, and came down to Capernaum, the city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. Amen. That is our Bible reading this morning. We are going to be taking a few verses out of there, I suppose. Verse number 28 and 29 we could really take as our text this morning. And we want to spend a few minutes on the subject of what bugs you. What bugs you? I have another word of prayer. Christy, would you lead us this time, brother, if you would, please.
Lord God, this day, if your goodness, Lord, for everything you do for us, Lord, we're especially thankful, Lord, for your unchangeableness in these days, Lord, and for salvation and for your word. We thank in advance for the preachers about to preach, and Lord, we ask and pray that you be with him this hour, that you deal in each heart and mind here, that you give wisdom amongst us and discernment, Lord, just use this time as you see fit to work in each of us. Remember absent brethren, Lord, I pray that you lift them up and strengthen them, be with them and minister to their needs today as well. Remember the sick, Lord, and downcast, I pray a touch of grace, Lord, for them. Lord, be with Frank as he's traveling, Lord, and Lord, help him in his studies too. Lord, remember Mark, and I pray a placement for him, Lord, and the preacher as well, Lord, that you'd help him, Lord, with his health, and he would get better, and if he would stand, Lord, I pray a touch for Stan this morning too, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Verses 28 and 29 give us the reaction of the scribes, the Pharisees, all the people that were in the synagogue. And the word of God says, And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. A very interesting portion of God's word. Everybody begins with their eyes fastened upon him, and as soon as the word of God steps on their toes a little bit, they're all ready to become murderers. What a change, or maybe what a revelation. As we open this portion of God's word, we have stepped into the life of Jesus Christ when he has just come back from being tempted, from fasting in the wilderness for 40 days and being tempted of the devil, being tempted with his mortal body and bread, being tempted with all of the things that were going to be his, with the lordship over all the kingdoms of the world, and of course with the demonstrations of his power. The interesting thing to note, if you get an opportunity to read earlier on in Luke chapter 4, is that the devil says, if you will worship me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world because they're given to me. In other words, it's pretty much, I know we ask you to pray for the leaders, we're told to pray for the leaders, but pretty much they're under the devil's control, and I think that we can see this in the treatment that people get at the hands of many of our world's governments today. And so he returns to Galilee and he preaches in Galilee. He gets into the synagogue and he's preaching. And people think it's great. I think the last couple of words that we read this morning pretty much say and give an example of the way in which Jesus preached. It says they were astonished at his doctrine because his word was with power. In other words, it was backed up. Not just with the way he lived, but with the very force, the power, the reasoning, the persuasion, the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And people took note. It helped people. It made people stronger. It made people better whenever they listened to what the Bible said, the way the Lord preached it, and they did it. And after that, he comes to Nazareth where he was raised up, and he goes into church. Now, I would like for us, if you would, just for a moment, to turn to Isaiah 61, because that's where this portion of God's word was actually taken to, the bit that Jesus read. And it's almost a continuation on from Isaiah 53. Isaiah 61, the first few verses, they say, "The Spirit of God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek, and sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord," the one that isn't mentioned, "and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." That is pretty much a continuation on of a description of what the Lord was come to do, to release people. And it said, it talked about being released from prisons. And it wasn't talking about Jesus being a freedom fighter that would go out and blow the locks off of all the doors and let people out. We're talking about the very real spiritual and physical prisons that people had, which we saw Jesus releasing them from. We're talking about organized religion. We're talking about the many cases of demon possession. We're talking about the sicknesses, the illnesses that people suffered through that marked them until they met with Jesus Christ. And people just watch him. Their eyes are fixed upon him as if, is this the Messiah? Now, you have to bear in mind one little thing about the difference between people today and people back in Jesus' day. They didn't have as much garbage going on in their lives. Yes, people still got up to mischief. People still drank. People still did all the things that people do today, but more people knew more about the Word of God. They were waiting for the Messiah. Somebody somewhere had been counting on their abacus the number of years from the restoration of Jerusalem, from the going forth of the command to restore Jerusalem, and said, this could be the Messiah. The timing's about right. That John the Baptist fellow that came and was preaching had said that the very last things that God said to us in Malachi was he would send somebody in the spirit of Elijah to preach the gospel. This could be him. So they were watching him. They were listening to him. And then whenever he said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your eyes and your ears," he was quite literally admitting to the people that were there that he was God Almighty. "I am the anointed one," Jesus was saying, not me. Jesus was saying, "I'm the anointed one. I'm the one that God was talking about in Isaiah 61. This is your chance." And then, of course, there must have been a good number of people that were they were waiting for the same things that happened in Galilee, for the same revelation, for the same comfort, for the same release from the burdens that the scribes and the Pharisees were forever putting on people's shoulders. And they say, "Is that not Joseph's son? Where did he learn all about that? What gives him the right to stand up in the synagogue? He'd done it before. He was obviously going on the back. He was allowed into the synagogue and he was allowed to read the words. I think people were back in the day. Men were allowed to stand up and read the Bible. But then Jesus says this. This is a, you know yourselves, it's a common thing that people will do. But I remember you when you were wee. I remember you when you used to steal the milk at people's doors and the bottles out of the back of this, that and the other and so on and so forth. I remember your dad. Anyway, the Lord makes this interesting comment. And he says, you are going to say to me, physician, heal yourself, which they did on the cross. Remember whenever he was on the cross and they went past wagging their fingers and saying, you think you were so great? You saved others. Let's see you save yourself, physician, heal thyself. He went on to tell them a very uncomfortable truth. Does anyone recall to mind the instances in the Old Testament when Elijah, Ahab and Jezebel, the land was cut off from rain for 3.5 years because of Ahab and Jezebel's awful, awful treatment of the children of Israel. Their constant pagan worshipping and their debauchery and all of the things that they did, their murder just on the turn of a hat, is that right? I don't know. Turn of a wheel. Drop of a hat, that's the one I'm looking for. The whole place was literally in a drought. There was starvation and famine in the land. And Jesus said, I was right the way across the land, but Elijah was only sent to one woman, the widow woman of Sarepta in Sidon. And do you remember that fella Naaman the leper? A great captain of the band. I can't remember the king's name right now. But there was one little girl that was part of the Jews that had been captured and used as a servant girl. And she made the comment, if only my Lord lived in Israel and could go and see the prophet Elisha. And remember the story about he went to the king and the king thought that the occupying power was just looking for an excuse to come in and crush him. And he says, I don't know. And of course Elisha heard about it. He said, send him to me. Of all the lepers in the world at that time, of all the lepers even in Israel at that time, it was a problem. It was a foreign pagan worshipper was the only one that was healed of leprosy. And these two people, the Lord was trying to get the point across, they weren't Jews, but they were people whose hearts were inclined towards God. Naaman was prepared to humble himself and obey. The widow woman was prepared to serve God's prophet first, and she was blessed for that. In other words, Jesus was saying, it doesn't matter who you are. And it doesn't matter the fact you're sitting in church and you're depending on being able to trace your lineage back to David or away back to Adam or Abraham or Isaac or Jacob. That doesn't matter. And it doesn't matter if your mummy or daddy could do it. It only matters if your hearts are inclined to God. And that really irked the life out of them. It irked the life out of them that they declared he was the Messiah. Because that would obviously mean, hold on, if he's the Messiah, we're going to have to change the way we behave. We're going to have to pull our socks up. Hold on a wee second. We're going to have to give him the high priesthood. We're going to have to obey him. This man who comes from a carpenter's son. So they thought they would kill him, like so many people have in the past. When they don't like what they hear, they try to shut up the hearer. They don't fix the problem. They try and just block it out, like I used to do when I was little, and whenever church was on a Sunday morning, I would get away out and run away down the park, and then I would. I knew that my dad would be calling for me, and I would be purposely a far, far away and could come back honestly and say, Dad, I never heard you. The fact that Ling's laughing there and Monica makes me think that maybe they had done something similar. Not Monica. You're a bad girl. Everybody's laughing now. Maybe I was wrong the first time. But we do that. Instead of fixing the problem, was it a fella said one time, most people live their lives like they would never treat their cars the way they treat their lives. If a light comes on in your car dashboard, you take it to the mechanic to fix it. You don't get a solder and iron and poke the hole through it and burn the light out so the light doesn't bother you any. You don't get a piece of tape and put it over the light. You fix the problem because the light coming on indicates a problem. They just didn't take too kindly to it. There's another little verse in John which was probably mentioned about the same time. It was early on in Jesus' ministry, John 1 and 13, and it talks about saved souls. And it basically says they were not born of blood, in other words, not your family, nor of the will of the flesh. It's not how you feel in any given day, nor the will of man. Just because you decide you're going to heaven is not going to make it happen either. But it's of God. You'll get to heaven through Jesus Christ, and that's the long and short of it. Whenever you personally go and make Jesus your personal savior, and he will personally save you. Your person, and only your person. Forever and ever. Amen. And he will do the same for any soul. You're not special because of your culture, Jesus was saying. And you're not special because you're God's chosen people. You're special to God, at least, if you repent of your sins and ask him to be your savior. Three things that really irked the life, that bugged all of the Jewish people. The first one was God's word. The second one was the prophecy in God's word, the prophecy fulfilled. And the third one was the whosoever will. That really irked the life out of them. And it irked the life out of them so much that they were going to kill him. And I want to just expand on those those 3 points, just for a moment or two. First of all, and last of all, God's word is the authority. If you want to find out a direction, you should go to God's word. Now people say, well, do you know what? God's word doesn't have anything in it about computers. Technically it does. It doesn't show you how to program. Well, it doesn't show you what lines to put in your program, but it'll show you what sort of person you need to be to get that done. You'll need to be diligent, and you'll need to be fastidious, and you'll need to be careful the way God's people should be, sober and vigilant. Anyway, without going into that, God's word's the first and final authority. And over the years, I have had the opportunity to serve members of the congregations who were having difficulties in their families, and they asked me to come and mediate. And the one proviso always was, we're taking the Bible, and we'll have the Bible out, and what the Bible says will be the first authority, and whenever we're all finished saying the Bible has to be the final authority, we're going to end our discussion on the whole thing with what the Word of God says. And if you're happy enough to do that, then I am happy enough to be there and act as referee. And that was fine, and issues were sorted, and people went on about their business. God's Word is the first and final authority. It says it's so important that God is going to preserve it in the face of this earth, and it is going to stay there convicting people for as long as people have souls that need saved. That's God's word. And God's commands, it's very, very important that we understand that God's law is important. It is what marks us as guilty, and it is also what points us to the Savior, and God's word shows us how to be saved. That if you confess with your lips the Lord Jesus, in other words, you admit that you need a Savior and believe in your heart that God is raised from the dead, in other words, trust him as your Savior, it says you'll be saved. And it says that in like 2.5 lines. It doesn't say anything about a lifetime of work. It doesn't say about being coming from a good family. It doesn't say anything about what mind you should have. Because if that was the case, I wouldn't make it now. Because we were having a discussion earlier on today about how much more forgetful I have gotten since coming out of hospital. I'd be in bad shape if I was depending upon my mental acuity to get me to hospital. I've offloaded that to Monica to remember about things. You may want to disagree with it, but you will always be wrong. And that's just the long and short of it. When I say that to Christians, Christians agree, but whenever I say that like that to lost people, I don't mean to niggle you, and I don't mean to upset you, and I just don't mean to go, nee, 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 I'm right in here. That's not what I mean. I'm just telling you. God's way is the real, proper, and right way for human beings to live. All these other ideas that people have come up with, as soon as they step across the line and are working perpendicularly at odds with God's work, they are wrong. And I think all we need to do is look at our number one citizens, the pillars of our society in this day and age, to understand just how right the Bible is and how wrong men are. Our first citizen is an adulterer and a fornicator, and he has been raised to the lofty heights of the man who has the first and the last word pretty much in this country, Boris Johnson. He has broken families, and yet people worship him as the first citizen, although not as many as used to. We have come to such a point in our society where we think it's a wonderful thing that we can now kill our unborn children. I know there are times in the history of our medical services in Northern Ireland that unborn children have been, when I say killed, I don't mean that in a wicked way or in a personal way, to save the life of a mother because of extreme medical difficulties. I know that. I know also of mothers that have said, look, I want my baby to live even at the cost of my own life. And that has happened too. There have been times when it's an either or. And those have been very, very few and very, very far between. But we have come to the point in departing from God's word, from the first and final authority, where we think it's a wonderful thing that we can now murder babies in the womb. We're just a couple of miles away from here, when we cross into the south of Ireland, they have had that for 3 years, and they rejoiced over being able to kill babies in the womb. What sort of people are they? What sort of people have we become? God's word's important. And it must be observed before everything else, before your feelings, before your desires, before your thoughts. God's word must be observed. If it makes you feel embarrassed, if it makes you feel guilty or shameful, that's God's word doing what it is great at, and that is convicting you of sin and judgment to come. And if you read on a little bit further in God's word, and the Lord is talking about things, whether through his own words or the hands and words of the many men and even women that he called to write these words, it'll not be too far after the description of sin and the things that God hates that he'll give the solution. Repent of your sins. Even in the Old Testament, the Lord said, you know what, I take no pleasure in the death of him that dieth. In other words, when someone who is unrepentant and unregenerate goes into eternity, because they're going to be dying forever and ever and ever in the fires of hell. He says, wherefore, turn yourselves and live ye. In other words, point yourself towards God. Listen to what he has to say and do it. If you're overwhelmed by the conviction, give it to God. And he'll bear it for you. I think we were even singing about that in one of our hymns there not that long ago. If you've come to a dead end, you go to the Word of God. Spend time there and he will show you how to get out of it. God's word's important. Talk about the Lord to anyone that will listen. Obey him when he calls, and you will see that it works. Sadly, most times people's going to get a bit bent out of shape when you start preaching the cross. But for the Christian and for the soul that is desperately seeking, the Bible is full of the things that God will use not only to convict you and not only to save you, but to help you grow, to guide you, to comfort you, sometimes to give you a thick ear and a sore behind, to protect you. Because he loves you. He loves each one of us. And because he sees something in your life that needs sorting out. He doesn't say all these things to make you feel bad. Well, and to leave it at that. He says all these things to make you feel bad so that you'll go to him to make you feel good. To save your soul. To absolve you of your sins. As in the words of the Pharisees that hated Jesus. Who can forgive sins but God only? Not you, not me, not a man that stands in a black dress with a petticoat on the outside and a shirt turned back to front. Nope, he can't forgive sins either. God can. And this is why people get so upset about God's word. You can come across doctors and scientists. You can come across old money, if you understand what I mean by that. Families that have inherited and made much money over the years. And when you, who are proud of their accomplishments, and justly so, but they depend upon their accomplishments for everything. Even whenever later years creep up to starting good causes or funding good causes in the hope that whenever they step onto those scales of justice in heaven that their good deeds will outweigh their bad. And that doesn't work that way. Whenever you start to speak to these souls, they're not going to be happy at you telling them that all of the things they've put their faith in are wrong and are not going to help them one wee bit, and that all they need to do is the same as even a five-year-old child that lives in a council house in the back of beyond from the poorest of the poor is just say, God, I'm sorry for my sins. Would you please save me? That's all you have to do. Of course, that's going to irk people. People don't like being told they're wrong. I certainly don't like it. And to have to grab a hold of that old hound by the choker chain and stop my reactions from time to time. But people don't like it. And they will get irked at you whenever you preach them the gospel. But there is a reason that God asks us to preach, because someday, not only are you covering yourself in this world, you are covering God in the next world. Did you know that? Because someday in Revelation 20, God is going to speak to each soul that stands there, each one of those poor souls that rejected Jesus Christ, dead in trespasses and sins, and is going to say to them, my servant Mark spoke to you and told you that you needed to get saved. My servant Ling shared a gospel verse, the most famous of gospel verses, that told you about my love for you and all that I did for you to save your soul, and you rejected that. My servant Norman told you the same. My servant Christy, my servant Taylor, my servant Will, my servant Steve, my servant Pat, and so on and so forth. They told you these things because they wanted you to get saved, but you laughed at them. You killed them. And because you rejected my son as your savior, now you must go into the lake of fire prepared for the devil and his angels. We're covering not only ourselves, but also God when we tell people about the wonderful things that he has done for us and is doing for us and will continue to do for us. Prophecy is another one of those things that irks people too. Because people sure don't want the prophecies of the Bible to be coming true. Because you know what happens if people figure out that all of the prophecies in the Bible are true? That means that there is a God who created time and can step into it and out of it whenever he pleases. Who inspired his men to write down all of these things so that later generations could not just read about them but see them happening. If prophecy is true, then we're all sinners in need of a savior. If prophecy's true, then I'm wrong and God's right. And people don't like that. Especially those that have set up their own little kingdoms. It's the one thing that sets this precious book apart from every other publication on the whole face of the earth. Time and time and time again, God's word is proved true. And I know people will say, but those prophecies were made like when Abraham talked about, was it Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob talked about not leaving his bones in Egypt, but taking them with him 400 years from now. And people thought, right. Many people think that the prophecies that were made about Jesus Christ, that was for hundreds and thousands of years ago. It's not for today. But even the very computers we spoke about earlier on are spoken of in the Bible, a worldwide network of communications we have governed by computers. Even one now that I read that Amazon, is it Elon Musk, are planning and putting in low orbit communications satellites so that the internet can be anywhere in the world. I think it costs nearly as much to rent it as it costs to put them up. But it's available across the world. And it's run by computers. Images given life, that's only been available in the past 100 years. And it's in the Bible 2,000 years ago. There's so much stuff. Imagine living in a day when everybody could be killed. That concept didn't even exist back when Jesus spoke to his disciples. That if he didn't come back in time, there'd be no flesh saved. All these things are to do with right now. That the weapons of our warfare would be so deadly that we could kill everything. I don't know what the latest count is, but the last time I read, it was something like there was enough, was it either enough biological agents or nuclear agents in the world to kill every living person 7 times over. And I am sure that it has gone up since then. With the chemical agents, biological agents, and we're even getting a wee taste of it. Those plagues and one diseases that are right the way across the world. These things are in the Bible and they apply to us today. Israel was only restored 5 years ago. We can look back and see that happen. That happened today, historically speaking. We can see the state of people. Just like the Bible said. And there used to be whenever I haven't used this one for a while, and forgive me if you remember and I use it again. Whenever I joined Desmond's about 33 years ago, I was being walked around all the department and being introduced to everybody. And I was introduced to this girl, but beforehand, my boss said to me, now, this girl isn't married and she's had a baby out of wedlock. Don't be saying anything. In other words, it was a bit of a shame to her or an embarrassment. 18 years later, when I was leaving the company, a young girl very proudly brought, I think it was her twins, into work that she had with a man that she had stolen from his wife. And everybody was going, oh, it's wonderful, aren't they beautiful? That's 20 years. And I saw it in my life. These things are happening right now in the Word of God and are going to continue to happen. And they're not getting worse and worse. They're just going to fulfill more and more of God's prophecies because they apply to us right now, even my own job. Standing here, bringing you the message the Lord has put in my heart. How many men do you think are standing in their pulpits with their dresses on inside out, their shirts on back to front, and they're standing and speaking in nice, easy voices because they don't want to offend anybody? When really what they need is a good solid toe up the backside, a King James Bible, and locked in a room without the internet for a day or two. I am disgusted with many of my peers. And yet the Bible said it would happen. When I look around the church, I hate The prophecy is being shown even in Bethel, where there is a falling away of souls from serving the Lord, obeying the Lord. I hear that. But it is what it is. And where are the prophecies of God going to be more felt than in a place where the full counsel of God's word is preached? Because it is going to step in your toes, and it is going to cut close to the quick, and it is going to make you feel hot under the collar. It is going to make you squirm in your seats, and it will continue to do so until such a time as you align yourself with God and you start to do what he says. He is an all-powerful God, the creator of the universe, the savior of whosoever will, and he loves us to bits. And he gave his life for us, and he wants the best for us. And prophecy simply should reinforce our faith in him and encourage us to go on to greater and greater heights. But it's also going to irk a lot of people as well. The whosoever will, that irks people too. And we'll be closing. This is our last point. It's always been that way. It's not just, oh, you're Presbyterians, you're going to heaven. It's not that. Well, it's not that you're Baptists, you're going to heaven. Or you're Seventh-day Adventists, or you're Jehovah's Witness, or you're Mormons. Or you're Church of Ireland, or what have I missed out? The Methodist Church, or you're belong to the Catholic Church, or the Charismatic Church. If you worship Buddha, or follow the writings of Confucius, or any one of the hundreds of, in quotes, false Christs that men have raised up. It's if you're saved, you're going to heaven. And it doesn't matter the label on the outside of the church door, and it doesn't matter your surname, and it doesn't matter where you came from. It matters who you went to for the saving of your soul. And if you went to an organization, I am afraid you have made a grand error. What did the Lord say to the Sadducees that don't believe in the resurrection? You err greatly, not knowing the scriptures. If you have gone to the foot of the cross of the risen Savior, and asked him, begged him to be your Savior, confessed your sins to him, then you're saved. And it doesn't matter one bit of the size of your bank account, the number of rooms in your house, the number of cars you have, how accomplished you are. It only matters that you trusted in the most accomplished Savior, Jesus Christ. And that really irks the life out of people. Because if you go, and I'm going to get this wrong and embarrass myself, if you go on the 12th of August and you tell, is it a religious thing on the 12th of August? Is it? Pardon? So it's not the 12th of August, that's Burnall Lundy. 12th of July then, let's go to the 12th of July. If you go on the 12th of July and start telling people, this is not going to get you to heaven. This is not going to advance you spiritually one little bit. You're going to annoy, you might actually get yourself a hiding on the 12th of July. But if you go to a soul and tell them, that's between you and God. Just like the Lord said, if a man repent of his sins, if a man accept Christ as his Savior, then he'll be saved. If you tell them that, what that actually does is, it tells them that all of their good works don't mean anything in eternity. It means all of their church attendance means nothing in eternity. It means all of the money that they put in the plate does not get them one inch closer to heaven in the endless ages of eternity. It means all of the prayers that they have lifted up, all of the church services that they have attended to, all those little old ladies that they drag across the road whether they want to go or not, don't mean anything. In Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 it says, salvation is a gift of grace. It's of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And that is going to annoy people. Because when you invest so much time and effort and thought and one thing and another into a project, you start to feel ownership. You start to, not just of the project, but everything that you have put into it, that starts to feel like something special to you. It starts to gain its own importance, almost a life of itself. And for you to tell somebody that that means nothing is a tremendous blow to a person's pride. And just like it was to those Jewish people, hey, it doesn't matter what church you're in. It doesn't matter that you're God's chosen people. If you don't get saved, if you don't trust in God, you're not going to heaven. That is going to irk people. And I am sure even with one of those things, people were, they were being set up to be annoyed. I think the Lord was sorting out the sheep from the goats. Because many people followed him. I am sure the church services were full in those days. But can you imagine a people that had been counting their ancestors right the way back to Adam? All of the people that had listened to God, obeyed God, trusted God, and even a few that hadn't. And making sure that their children know their lineage. Making sure that the children know the Pentateuch and the Old Testament and the prophets. Making sure that they observe all of the things that were written down in the Bible and then being told, it is only your faith in God that counts. Do you think they're going to jump up in the air and say, thank you for that. Thank you for letting me know my whole life's a waste. I'm not going to do that. People's pride is a terrible thing. It drives them to terrible things. It turned, can you imagine, it turning a whole church into a bunch of murderers? It did, right there and then. And the Bible warns us about it. The Bible reminds us to be mindful of where we were saved from. And that it was Jesus Christ and Him alone that saved us and not our good works that did it. And that we ought to be humbly obedient to God. By all means, listening to what the Word of God says, but always asking questions, being like the Bereans that Christy spoke of in the book of Acts. Checking if all the things that I have said up here are true or not. That's what you ought to do. That's what these people should have done. They should have been running up to the front of the church and grabbing a hold of them like the common man did in the marketplace. I was reading on from here, and the Word of God records how as Jesus walked through the streets and the crowds, people just wanted to touch him. It wasn't just the woman with the issue of blood that was healed when she touched his garment. Hundreds of people were healed when they just touched the hem of his garment. That's what they should have been doing. The very power of God was there to change their lives completely and their eternities completely. And yet, because the preaching of the cross, the prophecy of the Word of God, and the freedom of salvation irked and bugged them that much, their true natures were shown, and they were shown to be murderers. That is awful. But then bear in mind how little it takes to make us murderers too. It didn't sit well with the religious and the unsaved back then, and it hasn't ever since, sadly. They have always treated Jesus and his people very poorly. Sadly, even to the loss of lives. I was just reading again in Luke, if it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for you and me. And if they were going to do it to Jesus, that sometimes people will attempt to do it to you and me. But I want for you to remember, for all of the things that you lose or sacrifice that are taken from you in this world, for the cause of Christ, God has something far, far, far better waiting for you. Far better. Hundreds of times better. With those persecutions and the promise of an eternal life to come. Don't let the scriptures bug you. If they do, God has just shone a little light on a hardened piece of your heart that he needs sorted out. Take it in the chin What do they say here? Take your oil. God wants to help you. He loves you and he wants the best for you. Thank you for your good time. And God bless you. Amen. I think we should sing the hem of his, because he's only touched the hem of his garment. We haven't sung that for a while. I don't know what number it is, but it's in the wee black book. If anybody gets there before me, shout the number out. Number 20. I'm away at 26. Hymn number 20. She only touched the hem of his garment. If you'd like to stand as we sing, let's make a joyful noise as we close the service. Drop her down a tone. And run that intro again if you would.
She only touched the hem of his garment as to his side she stole. Amid the crowd that gathered around him, and straightway she was whole. Oh, touch the hem of his garment, and thou too shalt be free. His saving power this very hour shall give him. She knew her Lord had come. She felt that from him virtue had healed her. The mighty deed was done. Oh, touch the hem of his garment, and thou too shalt be free. His saving power this very hour shall give new life to thee. He turned with daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole. And peace that passeth all understanding with gladness filled her soul. Oh, touch the hem of his garment, and thou too shalt be free. His saving power this very hour shall give new life to thee.
Amen. Thank you all again for your good time and attention. We'll be dismissed with a wee word of prayer. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you for this time in your presence. Please seal these thoughts and teachings and doctrines to our hearts. Please, Lord, don't be done with us. Please do take and do continue to work on us, and forgive us where the hard parts of our heart are, but work on them, Lord, I pray. We know you're good, as good as your word, and you'll help us there. And Lord, we hold to that this morning. Be with our brothers and sisters wherever they are in the world, Lord, and please deliver them this day their daily needs. And we just love you, Lord, and thank you for all that you've done for us and for your long suffering and patience. Please cleanse us and refresh us as we part company and see us safely home, Lord. Amen. Folks, God bless you. Shake hands and fellowship for a bit. We are dismissed.